it's not going to be something that's going to be beneficial to you in the hereafter. And I'll guarantee you, no matter what it is here in this life that you lay down to be closer to God, when you get to heaven, you're not going to be looking back and saying, well, I wish I hadn't have done that because I didn't even need to. You won't be thinking that. You'll be so happy to be there that it makes no difference. You know, if God laid it on my heart that I had to give up food to make it to heaven, I would hope I had the grace of God to give up food. And it may come to that someday. You know, look at the Hebrew children there. They wasn't going to eat what the king was handing down to them because it was against their religion to eat it. So they were determined they was going to eat what was right. And they had them put it to the test. And they prospered better on what God wanted them to eat than they would on anything else. All right, I've got sort of a mixed message on me tonight, so y'all pray for me. In Matthew 23, starting with the 13th verse, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." Now, you know, that is something. Then it reads similar to that over in Luke, the 11th chapter, in the 52nd verse. "Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye enter not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered." And, you know, I've heard my dad preach on that years and years ago, and I thought, who on earth would ever be bold enough to stand and try and keep somebody from going into the house of the Lord? And yet I seen it on the porch of this church once. Well, it was more than once. So you and I, we got to be careful about the things we do. Because, you know, about everything you do, the Bible addresses it one way or the other, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. Then if you listen, in Romans, the 14th chapter and the 13th verse, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Then back over into Matthew, that 23rd chapter. Again, we're going to read the 37th down through the end of the chapter. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Now, here he said, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." And as I was reading this, different things kept coming to my mind on it about people that's being a hindrance and keeping somebody from going into the house of the Lord because of the life and the things that we say. We might not be standing in front of the door saying, "Don't go in." But the life that we're living and the words that we're saying is a stumbling block and a hindrance to somebody going in. And it may even be our own children. And we're destroying our own house that God has blessed us with. Oh, I see people that even know if I call them by name, you would know exactly who I'm talking about. That through prayer, God opened up the wound that were blocked so they could have children. And then look what praise they're giving to God. They're writing books of garbage instead of saying, "Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to open up my life, Lord, to think of me and what I hold good for." doing it to me. And yet today, no praise being given to God. Then we look around and we see so many young people that attended this church at one time or other. And they found fault with things, and things that were said encouraged them. And their negative thinking unto us. I guess they lost all confidence. And you and I today, that coming back here, where God was saying to Israel, I would have done everything I could to gather your children like a hen gathered her chick. I don't know how many of you have been on the farm where a hen that got a little chick. But in North Carolina, we had hens that had a little chicken. And in the summertime, a thunderstorm would come on. You see that old hen, she go making her door. Them old chicks are all run underneath her. After the storm was over, she looked like she was drowning. But yet they would come out. That little nail just didn't rise as it could be. God has told her, I'll take the storm for you. I'll be there to protect you. But where are you at? When I need you to stand for me. You know, if we don't stand up and tell our children when they're wrong and quit defending them because we love them. Do you realize God loves me and you far more than we love our children? More than we could even think of loving our children. But He ain't going to tolerate sin and overlook it because He loves us. He's going to point it out to us. And if you took sin seriously, what mother or dad is going to have a loaded gun laying on a coffee table with kids playing in the house and think, oh, that's all right. They know it's dangerous. They won't mess with it. That's stupidity. You might say, well, my children, they know what's sin. They ain't going to mess with it. That's stupidity. Because sin is enticing. And it draws us away. That's what the Bible says. We're drawn away by our own lust. And you and I today, in what I read to you here, you know, God, He cares for us. He's made all the way. But listen to this again. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way or any other person's way. You know, you can put a stumbling block in front of a sinner and you say, well, they're not my brother. But if you put a stumbling block there, you've hindered them from ever getting right with God. And you'll stand before God with their blood on your hands. It's much better to be a stepping stone than it is a stumbling block. Let somebody see your life. You know, I've preached this many times. If you have a person that you're trying to witness to, and they'll point out some Christian, and they say to you, I'd be a Christian if I thought I could be one like them. You got a good chance of reaching that person. But when they say, I'm as good as that Christian right there, you've almost got that door totally blocked. Why? Because that person that pretended to be something has just been a stumbling block and a hindrance to that person ever getting right with God. God wants me and you to be a light that will shine the way and not be that that would hinder and keep a person from going in to heaven. And, you know, each and every one of us, this church is not perfect, and you're not going to find one that is, because if you do, if you join it, it no longer will be perfect. But I have went to churches all over everywhere. And I have never found a perfect one yet. They've always got some hypocrites that don't want to really be on fire, but they want to pretend that they are. They don't want to live to a standard, but yet they want to act like they are. You and I, you know, Our outward appearance, if it don't match our heart, it's all in vain. It's every bit in vain. You can look like a Christian, but unless you talk like one, you think like one, you pray like one, you have faith like one, all that other was just for naught. You and I today, it will sooner or later shine forth. You know, we come out here, I was volunteer working, helping a guy some with a bunch of hogs that he had. And he was supposed to be a Christian. And yet, so many times when something wasn't going right, I heard words come out of his mouth that a Christian should not say. You and I today, sooner or later, the true person's going to shine forth. It could shine forth. In your anger, you know, a Christian can be angry. The Bible speaks about that, but it says sin not. You and I, you know, when we just totally blow off at almost nothing, pitch a fit, rebel against the things that God has set up the way that they're supposed to be because it isn't what we want, you know, we're just deceiving ourselves if we think that when we stand before God, it's going to be all right. Because each and every one of us, God's judging us according to how we live, what we do, the things that we think about, the things we say, the things that we talk about when we're away from church. You know, you might talk to Christian people one way, but, you know, it's totally revealing what a person thinks about and what they talk about when they think nobody that knows them really at church is listening. You know, and the way they'll dress when they think nobody at my church knows this. You and I, don't worry about what I know about you. Worry about what God knows about you. Because you realize what God knows about you, He can tell the preacher. There have been times that I was preaching on things that I thought there was nobody there that was for. I thought maybe it might be going to somebody out on the internet. And then you happen to look back and you see a face that just seems like it's the whole crowd. Out of the whole crowd, that's the one face that's just standing out. And you realize later, that's where that message was going. But whether they've done anything about it or not, that's between them and God. You and I, there is nothing in the Bible that says you have to abide by the message that God sends in your way. But it says if you don't, what's going to be the consequences? And each and every one of us, you know, the preacher, when he's preaching, there's all kinds of preachers that will tell you the same thing. Sometimes when they're preaching a message, they realize right while it's coming out, that's hitting me. But that don't mean that you don't have to abide by it. That means you got to abide by it doubly. Each and every one of us, think of all that you've done. Have you said or done anything that might be a hindrance to somebody? Have you basically give aid and support to somebody that was rebelling against a message that was preached? You know, just like some of the things that we heard here testified to, you know, you might not think that is totally necessary because God hadn't dealt with you about it. But if He sent a message to you and it affects you, maybe you ought to listen to it. Each and every one of us, is it going to hurt us to give up 100 things here that we didn't need to?
But what will hurt us is to hold on to one that we shouldn't have. And those 100 that we didn't need to give up and we did, when we stand before God, they ain't going to be important to us at all. But that one that we should have given up and we rebelled and kept a hold of, that's the one we're going to regret for all of eternity. You and I today. You know, the Bible says to know to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. Me and you, we need to make sure that what we're doing is pleasing unto God. And what I was reading to you there, you know, how many of you can think back and see where God worked miracles to reach your children, and yet they ended up turning and walking away? I get that on my mind so many times, sitting right there on the third bench, Dakota testifying in the Spirit. And I was so encouraged. But because of, I guess, desire of a woman and a wife, he sold everything that he stood for with God to get that. I hope and pray there come a time in Dakota's life that he gets back where he was with God. I hope and pray his wife gets right with God. You know, if we will put God first, he will work other things out. But so many times we want to work our problems out. We want to do what we want and then let God fix the problem. You know, like the old saying, sowing our wild oats, you sow them, you won't have to reap them. You might repent, but that crop's still going to come in. I've got a grandson that what he sowed, for the rest of his life, he's going to be reaping it. And according to my Bible, unless he's willing to come out and live his life alone, he can't make heaven. That's the Bible. I know there's preachers around in the same condition he is that says, oh, it's all right, God's forgive me. But nobody, I face that with I don't know how many people, and nobody will tell me that an alcoholic can get right with God and still be an alcoholic. Still go ahead and drink that it's all right. But yet a person in adultery can get right with God and they're forgiven, they can go ahead and live in that adultery. No, you can't. You're with another man's wife or another woman's husband, you get right with God, you're going to have to live your life alone because they don't belong to you. And you and I today, we can say, oh, but God is so loving, he's so merciful. He is. That's why he paid such a price for you and me, that it was capable of forgiveness of all of our sin. No matter what we get into, God can forgive us, but we must repent of it. Don't expect God to forgive you of something that you never asked him to forgive you for. And you can't get forgiven of what that you haven't done yet. You know, each and every one of us, our life is so short. And I'm beginning to realize just how short it is. But our life is so short. Why take a chance? None of us knows how long we're going to live. They're from babies out here to old people in this graveyard with no more graves than there is in there. There are less graves in that graveyard than there is in this church by a whole lot. You and I, we need to stop and think. If I die today, how do I stand? That's what you need to base your life on. How am I with God today? And if you can't say, if I die this minute, it's all right, then you better get on your knees and do some praying. Each and every one of us, God loves us. We might listen to somebody and say, oh, don't go to that church. Don't go to that church. You might listen to them. But if God's dealing with you to go, you better listen to God. I don't care what you have to climb over to get there. Each and every one of us, we got an appointed time to die. And after death, the judgment. You know, I had a preacher just here, I think it was last week. I seen him, and he hadn't said three sentences to me. And he said, when I was driving out of y'all's parking lot, I called my daughter and said, that boy can preach. He said, he's the preachingest boy I've ever heard. And he told me, he said, I thought I was a preacher. He said, I guess I'm somewhere between a preacher and a teacher. He said, because that boy could preach. But I found only one night was all it took to do him. He never come back anymore. So I've invited him to give him more chances to be here for a revival this time. But you and I today, you know, it ain't good enough to hear and marvel at it. Hunger and thirst for it. You know, spend some time. If you see somebody that is truly on fire for God, and when they shout, they testify, you feel the Spirit in you, and yet you don't have what they have, start praying for it. God said, I'll give you the sincere desires of your heart. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. So if you're not full and overflowing, it's your fault. Each and every one of us, myself included, I can get closer to God. And I believe each and every one of us needs to. And please, we've got such a short time. If we don't do all that we can, and our lost people don't come to this revival and get saved, it might be their last chance. What you see going on in the world today, it could close out quicker than you ever thought. I forget exactly where it's at, but there's one place in the Bible that talked about how things go. And in the time of one moon, that's 28 days, in the length of one moon, it's going to change drastically. People think, oh, we've got years and years and years. God also says, for the elect's sake, He's going to cut the last days short. We might not have as much time as we think. And the devil is doing all he can to destroy every church that's got any spirit at all. Those that don't have the Spirit, he's happy with. He's just thrilled to death with. But those that's got the Spirit, he's trying to destroy them. And our job is to overcome what the devil's trying to do. Our job is to pray and through faith defeat him. Bless each and every one. Come around the altar and pray. You know, just two more Sundays. And then the revival. Just a week from this coming Sunday, our revival starts. I don't know where March has went. It has flew by. So each and every one of us, you know, we should be praying about it daily. When you pray, the revival should be one of the... And then if you've got lost people, call their names out to God that they might see. And realize, you know, I've got people that apparently don't really care much for me. But I've still invited them because I care for their soul. And if God, through this revival, can reach them, then maybe we can have a relationship again. But I'm not going to sell God out to have a relationship. So each and every one of us, please, come around the altar and just take your people to the Lord in prayer and be sincere. You know,
You know, they've been things that I was praying about for years that God heard and answered. Don't give up if you don't get the answer the first time you pray, but still exercise the faith. Don't think, well, I've tried believing. You know, sometimes we think we believed, but we really didn't. But when you pray a prayer and you start looking and expecting the answer to come, then you've got faith. And not let the devil discourage you. Let's each and every one that can and will come around the altar for prayer. Dear God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, again, God, for thy precious word. God, I pray, Father, help us, Lord, not to be a stumbling block, God, but, Lord, to be a stepping stone, Lord. God, that people, Lord God, might see and know, God, exactly what that you require, God. Lord, that our testimony, God, no matter where we go, God, it might bring people, Lord, in to see you, God, Lord, to know you, God, to hunger and thirst for you, Lord. God, I pray, Father, help us, Lord Jesus, that we might see and know ourselves, God. You see us, Lord, I pray, go with us now, Lord, have your way, God. Thank you, God, for all that you bestowed upon us, Lord, I pray, God, Lord, that you would just help us, Lord Jesus, that we might lay aside the things, God, Lord, Lord, that would hinder. God, I pray, Father, Lord, that you would bless Robbie and Charlie, God. Lord, you supply their many needs. God, I pray, Father, strengthen them in body, Lord. God, I pray, Father, that you would touch Charlie's mother, Lord. God, you see, Lord, you know what she needs. God, I pray, Father, that you would, Lord Jesus, just have your way, God, in each and every one of our lives, Lord. God, that we might draw closer unto you, God, that we might be spirit-filled, Lord. God, it'd make a difference, Lord. I thank you, God, Lord, for hearing and answering, God, all the prayers, God, that you've heard this week, God. Lord, what you've done. God, thank you, Lord, for touching us, Lord, that we was able to be here tonight, God. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would, Lord Jesus, each one of us, Lord, help us, God, that we might truly see ourselves, God, as you see us, Lord. God, we quit putting up excuses, Lord, for our failings, God, our shortcomings, Lord. But God, we be fully surrendered unto thy will, God. Go with us now, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, speak, Lord God, to our lost people. God, you know what it's going to take, Lord, to reach Hannah, Lord God. Lord, and Riley and Katie, God. Lord, you know what it's going to take, God, to reach Tony, God. Kelsey, Lord, Jill Trent, God. Lord, the Miller boys and their wives, Lord, I know, God, that you're able, Lord. God, to touch, look, God. Gabriel, Lord, I pray, Father, help each one of them, God. Lord, that they might be fully surrendered to you, God. Lord, may we see them come in this revival, Lord. God, leave here, God, a newborn Christian, Lord. God, I pray, go with us now, Lord. Have your way, God, in each and everything that's said and done, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for thy blessing, God. For each one that's come out this way tonight, God. Lord, for the testimony. God, I thank you, God. Have your way, God. Bless you, God. Help us each one, God. Oh, have your way, God.
Lord, we pray, dear Jesus, for little Randy, dear God. Need little no more, Lord. Dear God, it's middle age, dear Lord. Just about a little while ago, Lord, it seemed as if he was just that little boy, dear God. We pray, dear Jesus, that you might speak to him and his
wife, yes, Lord. Dear Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, God, have your way, Lord. Please, God. Lord, I pray, Father, deal with Tony, God. Help him, God, that he might realize, God, his great need for you, Lord. God, I know you can, God. Have your way.
Not only to believe in you, dear Lord, but that he might have the faith to believe that your will is supreme in his life. Like he's never had before, Lord. But then we pray for these who are in his life, dear God. Lord, that you're in his life, dear Lord. dear Lord. We don't know, dear God. It's probably most likely somebody's going to be at this revival these next 2 weeks, dear Lord. That will never be in revival with us again, just as, dear Lord, as it is this time, dear Lord. I pray, God, that whoever is the one closest to me.